At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill." What Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, had begun, Jesus would fulfill. The goal of the law and the prophets was to produce a society of fidelity and justice. Jesus and the kingdom he announces and enacts is where that project finds its fulfillment. The new society formed around Jesus was what the law and the prophets were aiming for all along. The transfiguration is where Moses and Elijah find their great successor. The transfiguration is where the Old Testament hands the project of redemption and restoration over to Jesus. The transfiguration is where the old witness, Testament, yields to the new witness, Testament. But initially, Peter misinterpreted what the presence of Moses and Elijah meant. Or, to say it in the symbolism of the story, the church misunderstood the relationship of the Old Testament to Jesus. Peter's first impulse was to build three memorial tabernacles on Tabor, treating Moses, Elijah, and Jesus as approximate equals. Peter's implicit suggestion that the Old Testament be given roughly the same authority as Jesus is what I mean by a flat reading of the Bible. What can happen with a flat reading of the Bible is that Jesus' teaching of nonviolence in the Sermon on the Mount can be conveniently ignored because we found divine sanction for violence in the Old Testament. In other words, Jesus can be overruled by Moses and Elijah. But Mark tells us how Peter's suggestion for a triumvirate of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus was rebuked on Mount Tabor. "And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Moses and Elijah have left the stage, and now only Jesus remains. There's now no possibility of Jesus being upstaged or countermanded by the Old Testament. Jesus is all in all. The law and the prophets were the lesser lights in the pre-Christ night sky. They were the moon and the stars. They were sent by God, but they were not the fullness of divine light. Israel could grope forward by the moonlight of the Torah. The ancient Hebrews could navigate through the pagan night guided by the constellations of the prophets. In a world of Stygian darkness, the moonlight and starlight emanating from the Torah and the prophets made all the difference. But with the coming of Christ, morning has broken, the new day has dawned, and the Sun of Righteousness has risen with healing in its rays. Now the moon and the stars, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets are eclipsed by the full glory of God in Christ. The moon and stars recede from view because the sun has risen. When Peter, James, and John looked around on Tabor after the voice from heaven had spoken, they saw only Jesus. This is significant. To say it as plainly as I know how, the Old Testament is not on par with Jesus. The Bible is not a flat text where every passage carries the same weight. This is why Jesus can say things like, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." Where had Jesus' audience heard it said, "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth"?